Welcome back to the Master Your Metabolism Summit. My name is Melissa Scholar. We have a wonderful expert today. Her name is Catherine Crow. Now, the reason I invited her to our summit is Catherine is a nutritional therapy practitioner and blogs over at Butter Nutrition. Her passion is education, and her goal is to help guide you to improve your nutrition through strategic eating, not dieting, and without expensive supplements. Now, here's why you're going to love her. She has prepared an amazing talk for us today during her interview. She is going to teach us why your metabolism was fast, but now it's slow. Welcome to the summit, Catherine.
Hi, Melissa. Thanks so much for having me.
We are so excited to have you on the summit and to hear what you have to say today. There's a lot of people interested in this topic for sure. So I'm going to jump right in and just ask, what inspired you initially to get into nutrition and natural health?
Absolutely. Well, so growing up, I never really had any health issues at all. And like so many people, you just really start to think that your body is invincible when it comes to health. But, you know, when I got to college and I wasn't taking good care of my body, I was definitely in for a very rude awakening. So I started having chronic digestive discomfort. And mainly for me, that felt like food just sitting like a brick in my stomach all the time. And so I remember I was taking a yoga class at the time, and doing something as simple as yoga was so uncomfortable that at one point I remember strategizing to myself, well, you know, if I eat 3 hours before my yoga class, you know, maybe I won't have as much discomfort. So that was when, you know, it really started to hit me that I had a health problem. And, you know, coming from a background where I was never even conscious of my digestion, and now here it was really interfering with my life. I mean, that hit me pretty hard. And I think it's important to point out that because, you know, changes in the body happen so slowly, since the body is always trying to maintain balance or homeostasis, you don't really understand that anything has changed. For me, it was, you know, downregulation of the digestive system and the metabolism until you're pretty far down that rabbit hole. So I knew I had a problem, and I decided to see a naturopathic doctor because I live in Seattle, where we have best year, the leading natural health college in the country. So there's a ton of naturopaths to choose from. So I went to see my naturopath, and I quickly ditched them after about one or two appointments because all I really got were expensive diagnostic tests that said that everything was okay and really didn't do that much for my discomfort. So naturally, after that, began the self-experimentation and reading. And so this took me through a number of common food philosophies, you could say, as I really worked hard to alleviate my discomfort. So I dabbled in these different nutritional paradigms, you could call them. And while some of the things that I tried alleviated my symptoms to some degree, you know, in hindsight, I think trying these different things just really caused more problems and really ignored the root cause, which was I just plainly wasn't giving my body what it needed. And my metabolism and my digestion was responding and adapting appropriately. So that whole experience during college was really what brought me into the natural health world and the nutrition world, and I really haven't looked back since.
I'm guessing that there are probably some listeners who can really relate with your story, Catherine, and I thought it was so paramount how you kind of reminded us that, you know, sometimes this stuff kind of starts showing up, and it's kind of been on that journey for a while, you know, it was, and I think it's amazing how you sort of went down that road yourself and you experimented with all these different things, because we are so trained to go, like, doctor, fix me, and that's just an incredible story. Well, you definitely talked about like downregulation of your metabolism and your digestion. So I know there's people out there that are kind of thinking, what are the top causes of a slowed metabolism?
Absolutely. And I really think that there are top two factors. And first and foremost, I think the biggest one is just simply not eating enough food and calories to support your body. So when the body makes the decision to slow the metabolism, it's really all about one thing and one thing only, and that is survival. It has nothing to do with your body trying to conspire against you and, you know, your desire to fit in your skinny jeans. It's really just all trying to keep you going for longer on less, because that's what you're giving your body for most people who have a slowed metabolism. So it's really the body sacrificing long-term health for short-term survival. Because of what you're feeding it, you're really telling the body that food is scarce. And so the body gets really smart and starts slowing the metabolism and holding on to food as a protective mechanism. And so to make an analogy, because I love analogies, I want you to think of your body like a house. If you're not making enough money to pay your electricity bill, what are you going to do? You're going to turn down the heat in your house to compensate. You might turn off lights when you're not in a room, or you might fail to perform regular maintenance because you simply just can't afford it. And so the body operates in a very similar way. When there aren't enough calories coming in, the body saves energy by reducing the body temperature, turning down digestive juices, making digestion weaker, reducing the pulse rate, slowing thyroid function. And these are all built-in survival responses by the body to help you go longer on less food. And this really isn't a bad thing. It's actually a really good thing, because these protective mechanisms are going to keep you alive in a real emergency. But we just really need to learn to work with our body and not against it. So that's definitely the number one cause. And I would say a close second is definitely not eating enough carbohydrates. So carbohydrates are really the most important macronutrient when it comes to the metabolism. And when I'm talking about macronutrients, I'm talking about protein, carbohydrates, and fat. So all of those macronutrients are extremely important, and none should ever be limited in any intentional fashion. But really, when you think of carbs, you need to think of them driving metabolism. And one of the reasons that adequate carbs in the diet is so important is because the conversion of inactive energy to active energy, which is T4 to T3 for the technical people, that thyroid hormone conversion is dependent on enough glucose, which is sugar, and stored glycogen in the liver. So we need sugar to really set the stage for that powerful metabolic conversion to happen. So those are definitely the top factors that I think I see the most frequently.
Awesome. Are there any other factors that we should also be aware of, Catherine?
Well, absolutely. There's a bunch of other factors that also play into this that you might want to think about if you're definitely eating enough calories and nutrients and carbs and still having issues. There's also, you know, the chance that your liver is malnourished just simply because you're not eating enough high-quality protein. And so this can be common with people with a history of, you know, a low-protein diet. There's also the possibility that you have, you know, some serious nutritional deficiencies. And probably the most common one that I see is a deficiency of fat-soluble vitamins. So we're talking about vitamins A, D, E, and K2. And fat-soluble vitamin deficiency is really common because of the whole low-fat diet trend that's kind of gone on in the last 20 years or so. And so of the fat-soluble vitamins, I would say vitamin A is probably the most common for affecting the metabolism. aside from those, there can definitely be some digestive issues going on, just because anytime you're having problems digesting food, it's going to down-regulate your appetite due to bloating, digestive distress, constipation, and whatnot. Anytime that you're having that abdominal discomfort, you're not going to be able to take in as many calories during the day or, you know, really have a regular appetite, because most people, when they're bloated, just feel uncomfortable and they really don't want to eat. You could also, you know, have a hormonal imbalance, such as low progesterone or estrogen dominance, that can help contribute to a slowed metabolism. There's also, you know, you could have excess toxins in the diet or poor detoxification. There's also the possibility of stress, because anytime your body's under stress, it's going to block energy production. And then there's also inflammation. And probably last but not least is over-exercising. And according to my favorite endocrinologist, Ray Peet, the slow heartbeat of runners is largely a result of adaptive hypothyroidism. So in translation, you know, I think he's really saying, so what if the slow pulse of runners is not this amazing sign of physical fitness, but really just an adaptive mechanism of the body to slow the pulse rate due to excessive energy expenditure and not enough, you know, calories coming in to balance that. So, that, I mean, that's absolutely a huge cluster of other factors that all, you know, are interconnected in a lot of ways, but they're just some other things that you might want to consider.
Yeah, that is so helpful, Catherine, because you're just bringing up such a wonderful, you know, an array, because, you know, we've heard so much on the Mastering Metabolism Summit that we are all so different. So thank you for sharing those bio-individual factors that, you know, could be causing some problems. Of course, that leads me, and I'm sure the listeners out there, to the next question is, how am I going to be able to tell if if our metabolism is low? What are we looking for?
Absolutely. Well, there's a lot of things to look for, and I think the most common one is when someone thinks of a slowed metabolism is just the inability to lose weight. That's what most people first think of. But there's also a lot of other things that can indicate it as well. And probably the most significant, in my opinion, is having a low body temperature. So that could display as a waking temperature of below 97.8 degrees, just first thing when you wake up in the morning, you're still laying in bed. Or if your body temperature is below 98 degrees during the day. You could also have a low pulse rate, digestive issues like we kind of talked about, or, you know, just feeling like your transit time is really slowing down, as well as cold hands and feet, or you could just be cold all the time. You could be really, really easily stressed, or you could have hormonal imbalance and PMS, and that is actually because hormone synthesis, which is the rate at which your body makes hormones, is actually slowed when the metabolism is slowed, so it'll kind of result in some hormonal imbalances. And last but not least is poor detoxification, and this could manifest in, you know, sluggishness, fatigue, chemical sensitivity, more digestive problems, and blood sugar issues, as well as, you know, many other factors which we won't get to today. But so of these other ways to tell if the metabolism is low, I think the absolute best way is to do the temperature test that was coined by Broda Barnes, who was an American physician who studied endocrine dysfunction in the 1900s. And so he has a simple thyroid test that I will put more details about on my website, that I will share the URL at the end of the interview. But basically, you want to make sure that you take your body temperature with a basal thermometer first thing in the morning before you get out of bed you know, 3 to 5 days and really get a solid reading. But there's some other details of that test that you want to know. So you can definitely read more about it from me on my website later.
Awesome. That's so helpful. Now, you are the strategic eating queen. Therefore, I have to pick your brain on this next one, and I'm sure there's some folks out there that want to hear this too, which is what are the most metabolic stimulating foods?
Oh, absolutely. So, Melissa, I actually have 10 favorite foods for stimulating the metabolism. And because the liver is so instrumental in facilitating the metabolism, any food that supports the liver supports the metabolism, in my opinion. So, I mean, the liver has over 300 jobs, and, you know, the ones that are the most metabolism-specific are, you know, converting that T4 to T3, which is your inactive to active thyroid hormone, detoxification, helping to regulate digestion, balancing blood sugar, and those are all key jobs that are going to affect your metabolism. So I'll kind of go through these 10 foods and tell you a little bit about each one. But my number one food is definitely coconut oil. And that is because coconut oil is, you know, it's anti-inflammatory, it's antifungal, it's stimulating to the metabolism, it's incredibly easy to digest, and it's full of antioxidants. But the, you know, the reason that I really love coconut oil is because it can serve as a great replacement to get those vegetable oils out of your diet, which are also called polyunsaturated fats, or they're often called PUFA fats. And so those vegetable oils actually have a really detrimental effect on the metabolism and can block hormone and energy production. So coconut oil is just a really good replacement for those vegetable oils. And so there are two different kinds that you really want to have on hand. And the first one is refined coconut oil, and that's going to be pretty flavorless. And so you want to use this one in cooking because it's stable at high temperatures, and it's great for sautéing and baking when you don't want any coconut flavor. I also like to use this kind for making mayonnaise because I don't like my coconut or my mayonnaise to taste like coconut. So the other kind that you want to have on hand is virgin coconut oil. And so I like to use that for things that I want to taste like coconut. So baking, making popcorn, I like to use it in skincare. But ideally, you know, you want to try and swap out the vegetable oils that you've been using, if you have, and try and use coconut oil in place of that. And so my number two food is ripe fruits. And so the reason that ripe fruits are so important is because they're especially therapeutic. And that's because when a fruit is fully ripe, the nutrients are at their peak. And the sugars are broken down, fully broken down from, it's often disaccharide, which is a double sugar, into single sugars. So in essence, ripe fruits are incredibly easy on the digestive system, as well as rich in nutrients, antioxidants, really making it your metabolism's friend. So number three is pure orange juice. And a lot of people are kind of shocked by this one, but orange juice is amazing for the metabolism and energy production. But by no means am I talking about just any old orange juice. I am talking about pure and adulterated orange juice without additives, fillers, and absolutely not from concentrate. So I personally really like a brand called Uncle Matt's, although, you know, fresh squeezed, organic, or the best quality that you can find locally where you live, that's going to be your best option. So if you can find the pure stuff, chocked full of magnesium, potassium, a boatload of vitamin C that supports detoxification in the liver, supports the immune system, And then, of course, it also contains, you know, folate, thiamin, and vitamin A. So pure orange juice is a great metabolic stimulating food. Number four on my list is gelatin. And there are three main different ways that you can get your gelatin on. And there is bone broth, which is the best way to get it. But then there's also powdered gelatin and another form called collagen hydrolysate that I'll talk about a little bit later. But so really, why gelatin? And gelatin has this very unique and non-inflammatory amino acid profile. And amino acids are the building blocks of protein. And so the amino acids in gelatin are actually very medicinal for the liver. And these particular amino acids are really lacking in our standard American diet due to our heavy consumption of muscle meats and the exclusion of the other 50% of the animal. I mean, we do not do a lot of head-to-tail eating in the United States. It's just not a part of our culture. So over time, this real imbalance in eating lots of muscle meats in relation to other proteins, such as, you know, gelatin, fish, eggs, and dairy, it can tend to produce more inflammation in your body. So the glycine, which is found in gelatin, is actually needed in abundance by the liver to help your liver take out the trash in our pretty toxic world. So, like I said previously, there's three different ways that you can get gelatin in your diet. There's bone broth, gelatin, and collagen. And so bone broth, obviously, you would use when you're making a soup, or if you just, some people just like to have a mug of it every day. There's also the powdered gelatin form, which is great if you want to make Jell-O or any sort of dessert that you want to, you know, set up. And then third, there's a form called collagen, which is a little more processed form. But the nice thing about it is you can use it like a protein powder, and it's not gonna gel. It'll actually dissolve in any fluid. So I have a few different articles that I've written about those three different options and how to choose one that works for your digestive system. And then also there's some careful dosaging notes that you want to know about, just because sometimes if you increase too much gelatin in your diet too quickly, there can kind of be some side effects, just because you're throwing this really powerful amino acid glycine at your liver, and your liver just starts going to work. So you want to introduce it pretty slowly. Number five on my list is organic or pastured eggs. And this is probably one of my favorites. I am an absolute huge egg eater. And so eggs, if you think about it, are really nature's multivitamins, containing everything that's needed to create life. I mean, each egg contains about 6 grams of really high quality protein, vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, and an assortment of B vitamins, as well as hormone-building cholesterol. So a great way to go about this is to just make sure you get a few eggs per day, and if you can get in a few extra yolks, that's really just a great way to start to support your metabolism. Number six, I have pastured and organic meats, as well as wild seafood. And so anytime that you're choosing organic proteins or wild seafoods, they're going to be less likely to contain hormone additives and toxins, which is always a good thing. And so getting enough protein is absolutely instrumental to the metabolism and a healthy liver function, as well as detoxification. And so of organic meats and wild seafood, I would definitely say that shellfish is one of the most therapeutic, because not only when you eat shellfish, you're eating the whole entire animal. You know, you're eating the whole shrimp, or you're eating the whole oyster. So it's really therapeutic and particularly rich in minerals that nourish the liver, like iron, zinc, copper, and selenium. Number seven, I have as, you know, root vegetables and squashes. particularly raw carrots. And so roots and tubers are not only incredibly nutrient dense, but they're also very easy to digest. And so raw carrots in particular have a mild germicide that can be used as a digestive helper and actually help facilitate the detoxification of excess estrogen and endotoxin in the colon. So they can really be a good choice if someone's tends to have digestive issues as well. Another root and tuber that I really like is beets. And beets I love for the liver support, because beets can help thin the bile, which is essentially the river of toxins that flow from the liver into your digestive system. So you want that bile moving very smoothly to get those toxins out of the body. Number eight is probably everyone's, not everyone's favorite, and that is organ meat. And so if you can stomach organ meat, such as liver, a few servings per week goes a really long way for the metabolism. So if you are up for the challenge, you know, 3 to 6 ounces of liver per week is a great target. But, you know, if you don't love it, like me, I really don't like liver, there are other ways that you can get it. And so my favorite is either buying or making a dried liver supplement. I like to make my own, but there's also a few different brands that you can buy. Or you can just cut up liver into very small pieces and freeze it and try and take a few frozen tabs with some, you know, your favorite beverage, and you can take them like a supplement. You can also, of course, make things that make liver a little more palatable, like a liver pate. I at least find it tolerable. So there's definitely a few different options for trying to get some of the nutrients found in organ meats in your diet. So kind of making it to the end of my list, for number 9, I have calcium. And that's calcium found from grass-fed dairy products or a calcium-free source if you're sensitive. And so calcium is a huge stimulator to the metabolic rate. And so that means that additive-free dairy products like whole milk, cottage cheese, ice cream, and other cheeses can be a great choice since dairy is packed with high-quality protein, fat, and calcium. I mean, dairy really has so many nutrients and all of the macronutrients in one place. And so if you can't do dairy because you have a dairy allergy or because you're lactose intolerant and it's not working for your digestive system, there are other ways to get your calcium. And so my favorite ways are either doing bone broth or a powdered eggshell calcium. So those are some other options. And then, you know, last but not least, number 10, my absolute favorite food for stimulating the metabolism is by far pastured butter. And so contrary to mainstream media advice that butter is bad for our health, it's actually quite the opposite, as it's rich in fat-soluble vitamins A, D, E, and K2, saturated fat, lauric acid, as well as cholesterol, which is actually an antioxidant and the primary building block for our sex hormones, which I think is pretty important. So you want to look for butter from grass-fed cows or look for the word pastured on the label. You also want to make sure to check for, you know, any nasty additives that can sometimes be in your butter, which I commonly see natural flavors, but that just doesn't belong. So as you can see, as I've gone through my 10 favorite foods for the metabolism, you might notice that there's kind of a common theme, and that is, you know, real fats, lots of natural carbohydrates, and a variety of really high-quality animal proteins. And all of these foods are, there's really a focus on having foods that are really easy to digest, because anything that you're not digesting well is essentially working against your metabolism, because it can back up the liver and just cause a whole spiral of dysfunction. So you want to make sure that you're eating a really well-balanced diet containing all the macronutrients.
This is like your wealth of knowledge. This is so appreciated. You've given us a ton of advice already, but I'm just going to sort of like, as we begin to wrap it up, like what last piece of advice would you give our listeners who are looking to master their metabolism?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's definitely a few things that I think it's just really important for everyone to keep in mind. And, you know, I think the most important thing is to just be aware of the signs that we talked about that could indicate that your current diet is not working for you. And like we talked about, these changes happen slowly, so you really have to kind of be on cue with your body. But just to kind of remind you, they were cold hands and feet, low energy, low body temperature, slow pulse, reduced transit time, digestive issues. I mean, those are really your body's check engine lights going off like crazy. So, you know, pay attention to them. And then kind of piggybacking on that idea, you know, don't ignore your body and what it's telling you in favor of any sort of dietary dogma. You know, pay attention to what your body is telling you. And if you're craving sugar, it's because if you don't consume it, you know, your body is going to break down proteins and fats to make it, which is actually not preferred. And that's why your body is really smart and it's actually craving sugar because you need quick energy. And then, you know, I think just lastly, really when you start to embark on a, you know, metabolism increasing adventure with your body, really be patient because you definitely didn't get a slow metabolism overnight and a recovery won't happen in a day or in a month or in 6 months or even a year for some people. So really just be patient and know that your body is doing the best that it can to kind of reverse what's happened over the years. And as well, I wanted to let listeners know that I've created a page on my website for some additional information as well as reading and resources for kind of everything that we've talked about. And so you can find that at betternutrition.com/master-your-metabolism. So betternutrition.com/master-your-metabolism. And I really hope you'll check it out if you're looking for more information on any of these things that we've talked about.
Catherine, that is amazing. I personally love your blog, so I hope everybody goes and checks it out. Thank you so much for putting together those resources for us so that we have them long after this interview is over. It's so appreciated, and we just cannot thank you enough for sharing your wealth of wisdom and being a part of the Master Your Metabolism Summit. We definitely want to thank everybody for listening. We hope you have enjoyed today's interview. And we definitely hope that you will tune in next time and master your metabolism.